Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to be thinking about the fact that sometimes Christians can get very discouraged about their Christian walk. We have high hopes and very good intentions. We want to be like Jesus, but we're very conscious of our faults and human weaknesses. We want to be loving, but we find ourselves getting impatient. We want to read the Bible and pray, but it doesn't happen that often. Maybe some of you here today are feeling a little discouraged. You have been trying so hard, but you feel it's hopeless. Nothing is going to change. In fact, you're even wondering if there's any point at all in even trying to follow Jesus. And you see yourself as a lost cause. Well, I hope that today's message about the Apostle Peter will help to reassure you that with Jesus, you are definitely not a lost cause. The Apostle Peter was a passionate and a devoted follower of Jesus. He was also very impulsive and made a lot of blunders, and often Jesus would have to correct him. And in our Bible passages today, we focus on a time in Peter's life when he would have felt an utter failure. It is Passover, and Jesus and his disciples are celebrating. And Jesus knows in advance what's going to happen within the next 24 hours. This is the evening, the night, when Jesus will be arrested, tried, beaten, crucified. And he knows that the disciples will desert him and run away. He knows Peter's going to deny him three times. And so Jesus tries to prepare his disciples a little bit for what's going to happen. And he says to them, "All of you will desert me this evening." Now, you might think that this comment might have caused some alarm, but Peter is very confident. He speaks up and says, "Jesus, the other disciples might desert you, but I won't." In fact, what Peter is doing is he's telling Jesus that what he's saying is wrong. Peter is so sure of himself. And Jesus replies by warning Peter that he is going to deny knowing Jesus three times. And it's going to happen before the rooster crows twice. So before daybreak. Once again, Peter, oozing with self-confidence, tells Jesus, "No, Jesus, you are wrong. I would never do anything like that. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Bold, confident words. After the Passover meal, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And knowing what is lying ahead of him, he is troubled and distressed. So what does he do? He spends time in prayer with God. He's praying for himself, for his disciples, for the trial. And he asks his three closest and trusted disciples, Peter is one of them, to join him and keep watch. But instead, they fall asleep. And when Jesus finds the three of them asleep, he says to Peter, "Could you not stay awake for 1 hour?" He also makes a very telling remark, which actually says it all. He says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus has identified Peter and also your and my handicap. And our handicap is our human weakness, our sin. Peter and the disciples wanted to stay alert and pray. That was the plan, but the flesh is weak. They have human limitations. Physically, they're tired. They've had a good meal. They've drunk wine. It's late. It's been a long day, and they're tired. Physically, they're just not up to the task. Fast forward. All of Jesus' predictions come to pass. When Jesus is arrested, Peter and his disciples desert him. And yes, when someone identifies Peter as someone who knows Jesus, he's quick to deny the fact. I do not know that man. He denies knowing Jesus three times. And just as Jesus said, it happens before the rooster crowed twice. And when Peter hears the rooster crow, he remembers what Jesus said. And he breaks down and he cries. Now, we can only begin to imagine how he must have felt. Because he loved Jesus so much. And in a time of danger, he lets Jesus down. He failed Jesus. And his denial of Jesus revealed to him that he was not that strong, brave man he thought he was. In fact, quite the opposite. He was a coward. Now, it's never pleasant when weakness is exposed. It's painful to discover some character flaw about ourselves that we did not realize was there. And with Jesus arrested, Peter's weakness and failure in a time of crisis would have shown him to be totally inadequate as a leader. How sad. So much potential, and he stuffed it up. In today's society, failures like Peter's would probably have meant the end of the road for him. There would be no comeback. Any hopes of being a leader and carrying on Jesus' work would have been dashed. There would have been no comeback from such a stuff-up like Peter's. How sad if that had been the end of Peter's Christian walk. But we have an amazing God who, in spite of all our failings, still remains committed to loving us unconditionally. And it's because of his love and mercy that Jesus died on the cross. It's because of Jesus' sacrificial death that forgiveness is made available. We now have access to God's grace and mercy. In Psalm 103, we are reminded that God is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He remembers our human weaknesses. He understands our human frailty. And he responds to us with compassion rather than harshness. No matter how far we stray or how serious our mistakes might seem, God's grace is always sufficient to cover our sins. God still loves us. Amazingly, his love has nothing to do with our performance. He promises to forgive us when we confess and repent. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession involves humility and acknowledging our faults to God and our need for his grace and mercy. Confession is an essential step to actually receiving God's forgiveness. When we come to God to confess sin, it's not only just about seeking forgiveness, It's also about developing a deeper relationship with God. Peter's failure was not the end of his Christian walk. After denying Jesus three times, he broke down and cried. And those tears would have come from a place of repentance. He recognized the gravity of his actions. It's in John's Gospel that we read how after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus restores Peter by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" And each question offers a fresh start for Peter, who had denied Jesus three times. Three times, Peter affirms his love for Jesus. Three times, Jesus commissions him, "Feed my sheep." Peter has been restored, forgiven, and entrusted with the responsibility of taking care of Jesus' followers. Peter went on to become a leader who preached boldly at Pentecost, bringing thousands to faith. We've seen through Peter that in the Christian walk, mistakes and failures do not mean the end. In fact, our mistakes and failures can help us to be aware of our human weakness, and they can become opportunities to grow. If you remember, prior to Jesus' arrest, Peter had been overconfident about his strengths. He was so confident that he had boasted that even if the other disciples deserted Jesus, he, Peter, would not. Peter believed he was superior to the others. The others were weak, but he was strong. Overconfidence in oneself can lead to pride and wrong belief that we can manage on our own. We don't need God. Peter's failure would have opened his eyes. He was now aware of his human weakness. Gone was his pride and self-confidence. He had been humbled, and so he was able to repent and come to God for restoration and forgiveness. Our mistakes, our failings, are often opportunities to grow and develop our relationship with God. And you know what? When we do fail at something, it's not always such a bad thing. It can be a blessing, because it helps us to acknowledge our human weaknesses. And more importantly, much more important, is that we recognize our need for God. Mistakes and human weaknesses are important when they reveal to us some flaw about ourselves. And I'm now going to share with you something that happened when I was in my teens. I was with a group of schoolgirls in a cafe, and we were laughing and joking and having a great time. And I remember I made a few jokes about one of the girls there. Let's call her Mary. Everyone laughed, including Mary, and I didn't think anything of it. I was having a good time. We all were. But then one of my close friends came up to me and said, quietly, "What do you think you're doing?" And I was startled and said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "You've been cracking jokes about Mary. It's not kind, and the other girls are laughing at her." Well, my first reaction was, I defended myself, of course, as one does. "I'm just joking. Mary knows that. When I looked at her, she was smiling. She was fine with everything. What are you on about?" And my close friend just gave me this look. She didn't say anything. Well, when I got home, I sat in my room went through the whole scene, and I was angry with my friend for accusing me of being unkind. I was being funny, hilarious. Everyone was laughing about everything. We were all in a party mood. How could she accuse me? Then after I calmed down, I thought, well, as a Christian, I better talk to God about this. Is there any truth in this? When I was joking, was there some unkindness? Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I had a good chat with God about all this, and at the end of it, I felt miserable. I was feeling miserable because I had discovered I had this nasty, unpleasant streak in me, and I did not like that. I was miserable because I realized I had been unkind and possibly hurt a friend with my words. And I took this discovery of myself to heart. I watched my tongue. I was very wary of using any sort of sarcasm. And it alarmed me to realize I was capable of using my tongue in such an unkind way. It was painful to realize this about myself, but I was thankful that God made me aware of it. There's this expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's not true. Words can be deeply hurtful and have power to cause emotional pain. The other thing that this incident alerted me to was my relationship with Mary. Why was it that I had made jokes about her? There was a bit of soul searching that was going on. Today we've been looking at the Apostle Peter, whose desire was to follow Christ faithfully. But his shortcomings, his human nature, caused him to fail miserably. Jesus' comment, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak," spells it out perfectly. We have good intentions, but we're human. We have human weaknesses and shortcomings. We make mistakes. We get it wrong. We sin. And it can be very discouraging when we get it wrong, especially if we are desperately wanting to follow Jesus, to please him and develop that close relationship with him. However, God has provided a way forward by promising to forgive us when we confess and repent. In addition to offering us forgiveness, God has also given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and he helps us in our Christian walk to change us so that we become more like Jesus. And he helps us to do the things God asks us to. If you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter had failed miserably because he was placing his confidence in himself. He fell asleep. However, on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples, Peter went out into the streets and preached this incredible sermon. He was bold, not timid. He spoke the message clearly, no blunders. And 3,000 people came to be baptized that same day. What a turnaround for Peter. What a difference the presence of the Holy Spirit made in his life. If at the beginning of this message you were feeling a little discouraged, I'm hoping you're feeling differently now. I'm hoping that you will realize that blunders and failures are not the end. They are also opportunities for growth and a deeper faith. Our shortcomings, our sin, does not stop us from following Jesus. God has provided us with forgiveness. We can come to him anytime. He has given us the Holy Spirit, who is our helper to grow in God's ways. And God can use our mistakes, our flaws, to help us become more aware of something that needs to be corrected. And correction from God is a good thing, because this is the way in which we grow closer to him. There are no lost causes with Jesus. May I end by giving a few suggestions? Because I believe that many of us have this desire for a closer walk with God. And as I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking, I was encouraged and I was challenged. And one thing I thought about was, you know, when we pray, when we talk to God, very often the things we talk about to him, we pray about, are things that we're worried about. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, God wants us to come to him with our concerns and our needs because he cares for us. But just as important, probably even more important, is to come and talk to him about your shortcomings, your human failings, and your struggles. And it's so easy to be honest with God because he knows everything anyway. We're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. He's not surprised when we come to him and say, God, I'm struggling in this area. He will know if we have a problem with our temper or if we easily get jealous or envious. He will know if we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness towards others. He will know if we are judgmental, if we like to grumble and complain. He knows it all. And I'm pretty sure that as you and I have more and more honest conversations with God, we can expect a closer relationship. The other thing I wanted to mention was, rely on the Holy Spirit to help you and me in our relationship with God. Expect him to lead, because the flesh is weak. God gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason. And if your spirit is willing, if you are willing for God to act in your life, and if you have confidence in God, not in your own flesh, then we can expect to find ourselves growing closer to God, having a closer relationship, and changing. No one is a lost cause with Jesus. But remember, he's not a dictator. He's not going to force you. It's up to you to choose how to respond. How will you choose?